The message this evening is from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 17. And it came to pass while Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was also going through the middle of Samaria and Galilee, and then he has come to a certain village, and the 10 lepers met him there who stood at a distance. In the name of Jesus. The journey to Jerusalem is the culmination of Jesus' mission. So St. Luke, the evangelist, writes for the third time that Jesus is on his way to the holy city, Jerusalem. And there, Christ will offer the atonement for our sins. And in that place, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross will restore sinners and forgive sins. The Messiah there is both the high priest and the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And his work on the cross will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and give us salvation. So it is fitting for us this Wednesday evening to gather as the Lord gathers us here to give us this gift, the gift of mercy, where we receive his goodness and all the benefits that we reap from him. And in return, we give thanks and praise. So it is meet and right for us to come before the Lord like the leprous man who begged for mercy from Jesus Christ. For we need mercy from him, not only mercy for physical needs, but also spiritual ones. For who in this world doesn't need mercy? Our need for mercy is constant. It traces back to the Garden of Eden, and it is extended today, this present day. It's a need that will persist for us until the Lord's return. Let us think for a moment about these people in the first century. Can we imagine these first century people in Palestine and think for a moment about their lives? For back then, it was for sure challenging, and it was full of hardship and struggle. And Jesus gives us this example, or Luke gives us this example of the harshness of life then. And we get this story of 10 leprous men to come and meet Jesus in the middle of Samaria and Galilee. These men certainly heard about Jesus, the miracle worker. The miracle worker is in town, and they need him. They come to meet him because they are hopeless. And back then, it's as if this is all Jesus can do. Heal, do miracles, give sight to the blind, make the lame walk. But Jesus does more than this. He comes to be the Messiah. So without knowing, they call him Master. They call him a loud voice, Master, have mercy on us. But life today is no different. We still find ourselves in need of miracles. Our struggles may be in different forms. We still have incurable diseases and all kinds of disorders, and we have complex dynamics within our families, and we have interpersonal relationship challenges. But the underlying need for mercy and hope is the same. So just like those 10 leprous men, we face situation that can leave us hopeless, in need of divine intervention. These 10 men, they were casted out of their village due to their condition. And this is a timeless truth, that human suffering and the need for compassion does not discriminate. In that village between Galilee and Samaria, these 10 men lost contact with their families. And they are both Jews and Samaritans, in a certain village. In the same way, regardless of being Jew or Samaritan, we too have this affliction. We have this affliction we call sin. And with them, we share the same struggle. The same struggle that humankind had for the past centuries, the fundamental condition remains unchanged. So we, like them, are plagued by sin, and we need mercy and redemption. Though you and I do not have leprosy in a literal sense, our body is corrupt, our mind and spirit is corrupt, and that's because of sin. And we all deal with this body that's decaying, and we have our personal problems that you can think of now. And maybe we didn't even think about those problems. The truth is, we need the Lord's attention. In those days, these 10 lepers, as they are cast out, they could not make no contact with anyone, as they are lepers. They could not talk to anybody. All they could do is make noises. And like those 10 lepers, we may think in this life, in our prayers, that we can make enough noises or cry out loud enough to get the Master's attention. But the truth is, it is Jesus that comes into this certain village. And Jesus, when he sees them, he comes to hear them, close enough to hear their cry for mercy. For Jesus, the Messiah, has compassion on them. And he hears his mercy, and he grants them the mercy that they needed. So Luke writes in the gospel, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." For them, this might have been familiar. Go and show yourself to the priest. For Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 speaks about this. People needed to come to the temple and show themselves to the priest to attest that they have a skin condition in the likes of leprosy. And if the priest confirmed it, they had to be casted out because it is ceremonially unclean to have skin conditions. So as these 10 lepers are aware of this, when they hear, "Go and show yourself to the priest," they think about the temple. So these 10 lepers, they go to the temple to be cleansed, to show the priest, so that he can contest that they are healed. What these leprous men do not understand is this, that they have the priest, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in front of themselves. They don't think about that. They think he is a master, a miracle worker, and maybe he'll do to them what he did for others in other villages. So they go, and they're going to go to show themselves to the priest. Like them, we too, this Wednesday, show ourselves to the priest. But unlike them, we know that Jesus has come and he's put an end to temple worship. For he made his body the new temple, John says. And then, as a new temple, he is also the ultimate sacrifice for us to forgive our sins and make us new again, restore us. So we come to meet him here on this Wednesday evening for Thanksgiving. For here, he promised to be present, and here, he promised to grant us mercy. And the story goes, as the 10 leprous men went, they were healed. And the healing they saw, though, was based on their perspective. It is their perception on their journey to the temple, they see or noticed that they are healed, that the leprosy is gone, that they are restored. Yet the truth is, in Jesus' word, right there and then, they are cleansed. Cleansed for all their impurities. Before the priest, they received the healing, and they are made new again. And then, when they are made new, they can be restored to the community. So we too receive the same healing and cleansing. And it is not based on our perspective, but it is based on Jesus' words. For at the word, healing happens. At Jesus' word, cleansing happens. Even though he says, to one man, go to the pool, to another man, gather your bed, and to these leprous men, go show yourself to the priest. Like them, the same word are proclaimed to us, the word of the Savior, and it'll make us righteous, and it'll make us clean. For I am sure, though 10 men went and only one came back, these 9 men were thankful. And it was probably the greatest joy of all, and they had the most and greatest gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. For who can not be grateful if they're restored, having leprosy, a hopeless disease, and now they can go back to their families? Maybe when they go back, just like us, tomorrow, they will feast, and they will have turkeys and stuffings and ham and pies. I'm sure they had great joy. But the true thanksgiving is not that. True thanksgiving that Luke shows us in this gospel is this one Samaritan who returns to the source of mercy and greatness. So true thanksgiving is about returning, turning back. True thanksgiving, as Luke writes it, the Samaritan man turns back and throws himself at the source of mercy, the giver of mercy, and he's at his feet, and what he does there is give thanks to him. Give thanks to Jesus Christ, and Jesus says, where are the 9? But this one foreigner comes back and glorify God. And here, right there, we have the true definition of thanksgiving, which means to come to Christ, give him thanks and praise for what he has done. And what he has done for us now is forgiveness and renewal. So here he comes to you so that you also may rejoice in him. He gives us this miracle as a meal in his body and blood and bread and wine. So it is meet, right, and salutary to give him thanks and praise. It's been said also, recently, that to give credit where credit is due. And when people give thanks, they give thanks to God. When they do it, they have the Father in mind. But only here in the entire New Testament, giving thanks is addressed to Jesus Christ. So it is fitting to give him thanks. For God is merciful and gracious to us through his Son. Therefore, the Samaritan recognizes the glory he gives to God is expressed in worship and thanksgiving to Jesus Christ, who is God in flesh. Here, Jesus calls himself God, and it is meet and right for us also to give thanks at all times and in all places. We recognize that Jesus is the only source for us. That the faith in the Son does not doubt. And when we don't doubt, we don't come to him with sluggish prayers or voices unwilling to sing, but instead lift up our hearts and voices to give him thanks and praise and telling everyone what he has done. for the Lord, we are not just cleansed. We are saved and brought onto everlasting life. So we're like the Samaritan man when he hears Jesus says, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Us, you and I, will rise also with this man and Jesus Christ who died and resurrected on the cross. And you and I will be made well in our faith in the same way. We are made well in our baptism. And for that we give Jesus Christ thanks and praise. We are made well in the Lord's Supper. And for that we give Jesus Christ thanks and praise. And we are made well in our devotions, reading the word and listening to his word. And for that we give him thanks and praise. This man, I'm sure when he hears, go your way, he goes to Jerusalem, following Jesus, the place where the priest who is before him will give the ultimate sacrifice, where he will be the true priest and Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And there he is the new temple, and he comes to us here on this Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving so that we can partake in the meal that he instituted and established on the cross. And as we partake in this meal, we are made righteous again, restored, so that we can go to our families and tell everyone what he has done. To Jesus alone be all the glory. Amen.